For a brand new heart, or do you want to be well?
Brother Tony, I told Brother Tony last weekend, I said, Brother, I said, I love Brother Tim, but I'd also like to hear you play too, Brother. So, you can't play like Brother Tim, and Brother Tim can't play like you. And everybody says, my problem, glad I can't. That's what Brother Tony's thinking. No, we're very thankful. I think Brother Tony does a fabulous job of playing the guitar, and I love to hear him sing, and he's just a gifted brother, and I appreciate you more than you know, Brother. And maybe on the other side, you'll get a glimpse of how much you appreciate it, so. We want to speak to you on a little thought this evening on what will you offer? Question, you know, what will you offer? We want to go to St. Mark chapter 4. I'm sorry, St. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And she'll have these on the multimedia, chapter 10, 46. And just go right into the word this evening. How many come expecting to hear from the Lord this evening? It's been a real battle for me. I normally take off on Wednesday to study, and it's my day of rest, but I'm taking off this weekend to go to Brother Joshua, so I had to work today. So it's been a double juggle today, and thank the Lord. I see what Brother Tony goes through every week, so we'll just pray the Lord will just speak to your hearts tonight. And they come to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou do that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we want to thank you for this opportunity to be here, Lord, among your people. Father, I ask you to help me get myself out of the way, and may your anointing, Lord, who gave me this message, be among us here tonight, Lord, to divide the word equally to each heart, Lord. Lord God, may it fall in deep hearts of fertile ground, Lord, to bring forth faith that you put there, Lord. Lord, to bring a life that is worthy of your gospel. Lord, you are so worthy of our praise, Lord. Lord God, forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us for the times, Lord, that we don't lift your name as high as you deserve it to be, Lord. You are worthy of our praise, Lord Jesus. We ask you, we welcome you. Come, be in our midst, and divide the word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Hey, just read just a little quote, if that's okay, and kind of give just a little short story. It says, "Oh, blind Bartimaeus." Did you ever read this story? Here's the little story of him. Bartimaeus had been blind for years, and he had a little girl. We're told a little story of him that he had a little girl. She was about 10 years old, little curly-headed girl. He had never seen her in all of his life. And today, how dogs lead the blind, the sheep led the blind then. They had lambs that led the blind. And Bartimaeus sat on the street begging, and he had two little turtle doves that done a little enchantment for the passerby, and he begged for his living. One night, they said that his wife got real sick, and he went to pray, and he said, "Dear God, if you'll save my wife's life and not let her die, tomorrow I'll offer my two turtle doves as a sacrifice." And his wife was well the next morning. He walked up to the temple and offered his turtle doves as a sacrifice. Not long after that, he didn't have the enchantments then to attract the attention of the people. Just him and his lamb, sitting in the cold and waiting for whoever would pass by and give him a coin. And then one night, his little girl took sick, and the doctor thought she was going to die. He staggered his way out into the night, and he lay down. He said, "God, I don't have nothing else here to give you but my lamb. But if you'll let my girl live, I promise you, Lord, tomorrow I'll go to the temple and offer my lamb for a sacrifice." His little girl was well the next morning. And here he goes up to the temple early in the morning with his lamb. And he said to the gate, the high priest Caiaphas stood out there and said, "Oh, blind Bartimaeus, where goest thou?" He said, "Oh, high priest, I go to the temple to offer my lamb." He said, "Last night my little girl was sick. I promised God if he would heal my little girl, I'd offer my lamb." He said, "Blind Bartimaeus, thou cannot offer that lamb." Said, "I'll give you money and you go buy a lamb." He said, "Oh, high priest, I never offered God a lamb. I offered God this lamb." That's the trouble. You try to help what God. God wants you on the altar, not your flour, not your money. He wants you. You on the altar. You're the person that's going to make the offer. Why? The great high priest said, "Blind Bartimaeus, thou cannot offer that lamb. The lamb is your eyes." He said, "True, high priest, but God will provide a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes." He done went on and offered his sacrifice, sitting without a dove, without a lamb. And one day there was a noise started up the street. God had a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes. The Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. God had a lamb for his eyes. It was a provided lamb. Ain't that something? Blind Bartimaeus literally gave his living to bring healing for him. He said, "God, if you will just heal them." His only living that he had. I want you to really step into the shoes of blind Bartimaeus. I hate to call him blind Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus. I want you to step into the shoes of Bartimaeus. This was a man, his living, the way he provided for his family was these turtle doves that would do a little dance. And a sickness come up on them where they were going to lose their life. And from his heart, something inside him said, "God, I'm willing to give you everything that I have of my living if you'll just bring healing to her." And he followed through with his promise. And then right after that, as if nothing worse could happen to this godly man that I would call a man that was a believer of God. Then his wife gets sick right afterwards, and then the only thing he has is walking by a lamb. Now he doesn't have a living, but now he's going to give away his only way of getting around. He said, Lord, I'm going to give it away. You talk about a man of faith.
Yeah.
You talk about a man that really did a sacrifice. One of the things that we see here about blind Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus, is a family man. He was a man that loved family. God cares about family, and his people will have that character, that they will care about family. And there are small details that leak out of the characteristics of a person that you can watch as a person, and you can see certain things about a person that says, my goodness, that's a person that has tremendous character. There's something about that person. And one of the examples is the centurion. And she has a scripture in St. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say unto this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and thou hast believed. So be it done to thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. To me, it's such a profound thing to see that this was a man that was over authority, that he had servants that were under him. And what man that comes to church does not have a need that you need to bring before God? I want you to stop and think about this just a minute. This was a man that was coming in front of Jesus Christ. And what man doesn't have a need of their own self, of their own family, of their own household, that during my opportunity to be in the presence of Jesus, that I want to bring their need, this need, this need. But why was it he brought his servant? It was one of his servants. He had such a character about him. He was mindful of his servant, and he was willing to put the true burden that God put on his heart above his own needs, above his own wants, above his own family wants. This was a man that was walking with a burden. And I'm here to tell you, the most profound, wonderful thing that a Christian can do is to walk with a burden. Well, you have a burden for a lost brother. You have a burden for a sister that's going through a sickness. You have a burden that they're going through this trial. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this was a man that had a burden. And when he came in the presence of Jesus, he brought that burden, and it absolutely brought a healing in such a way they thought it big enough to put it in the Bible, to where people would read down it down the ages and ages to come of the centurion. It's such a wonderful thing to see that this man was mindful of everything that was under him. That's what I want you to mind during this service. It's the things that was under his authority. He was mindful of them. He was alert of them. He was aware of them, the things that's going on. And every single person in this room has somebody that's under you. You have some kind of authority over something. There's something that you're responsible for. This was a man of character that understood authority. He understood the responsibility that come with authority. And people under his authority benefited from him being his character of being a Christian. They were under the umbrella of his character of being a Christian. Families benefit from being under the umbrella of the character of Christ. Is that right? A man will reap what he sows, whether it's good seed or bad seed. However, just as sure as if you sow that bad seed, if you'll sow that good seed, you will reap the benefits. Listen to me, young people. You want blessings of the Lord? You want to see God work in your life? You sow the good seed in your life. You take the word every day and read. Brother Rim said, a good Christian will read their Bible and pray every day. You know, I don't think he was doing that just for his Sunday school, because what are you doing? You are sowing good seed inside you on a daily basis, and you are sowing it for something good. An umbrella is used to shield you from the rain. And when we have the umbrella, it gives us a shield that protects our family from things that the world battle every day that they shouldn't have to. If you look at a lot of the chaos that happens out in this world, a lot of it could be avoided. And I'm thinking, I don't know if you remember me saying, well, people fight nonsense battles. We fight enough battles that we could fight that are legit battles, but a lot of times it's nonsense battles. And what I call nonsense battles is when you're doing silly stuff that brings battles that are absolutely nonsense. If you would stop the nonsense, you wouldn't have to fight all these extra battles. How many knows what I'm talking about? There are a lot of apps that you can get on your phone that will cause a lot of nonsense battles. I'm telling you, it kills your time. It gives you little pop-ups that will pop up there, and you'll see a little thing, you'll see a little thing, you'll see a little thing, and it's battles. It will bring battles and battles and battles, and it's all right here. Nonsense battles. But you know, if we will hold the umbrella of Christ, the Word of God, whenever we hold the character over the home, hold the character in our life, it is an umbrella that will shield you from a lot of the nonsense battles that you don't have to fight every day. There is protection under the token. And the headship of the home has a position in the home to set that example. And in the correct order, he'll be the one that leads it by example in prayer life, the headship. He will be the example of reading his Bible. He will be the example, the mama and daddy, will be the example of how to demonstrate the grace of God. When they allow this conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever you're doing that, parents, when you're doing that, you are putting an umbrella over your children and showing this is how you do this. This is the way we conduct things. If he's positionally placed in a home, he will be familiar with the weaknesses in his family. A headship, a father, a mother. You will be familiar with the weaknesses of your family. Brother Daniel, what are you talking about? We should be alert, watching over our family, of seeing sickness trying to come in, temptation trying to come in, this trying to come in. We should be alert. We should be watching. We should be familiar with the battle that's going on. If we're not, there's something wrong. We need to do a checkup. We need to be alert and watching, because every person in this building has a responsibility to look out and watch out over our homes. Strong homes make strong churches. That's right. Strong homes make strong churches. You get weak homes, weak prayer lives at home, weak study lives at home, you're going to have a weak church. But you get a church that prays together, family that prays together, you're going to have a strong church. And then when wind comes, you'll be ready for it. Amen. We don't want to wait till something bad happens. We want to be ready already. Not because we have to, because it's good. You know, right? It's a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. A good farmer or a good rancher will be mindful of the weaknesses in the fence line. He'll walk the fence line. He'll look for weaknesses in the fence line. And it's not just to keep stuff in, but it's to keep stuff out. We got to walk the fence line, brothers and sisters, by taking the word and applying it and searching on a daily basis of, Lord God, is there weakness in the family? Is there weakness in the home? Is there weakness in this fence line, God? Help me to be aware of it. And when you know where the weakness is, you've got to protect it. You've got to guard it. Listen to me, young people. If you find yourself battling temptation of a sexual demon, you've got to protect that with the word. You've got to guard it. You got to protect that with the word. I can't say that loud enough. Protect it with the word. Amen. Because the devil will come at you. He will come at you. And he'll wait for you to get open. He'll wait for you to get a clean shot. And he'll nail you every time. But if you'll take the word, and when the devil comes at him, you hold the word whenever he comes and break his hand with it. Right. Amen. You got to know where your weakness is. You got to walk the fence line. You got to do it yourself. A lazy rancher can't do it on his own. Brother Brennan talks about a lazy rancher that'll pop his feet up on the desk and not do what he needs to do. I hate those. They got cruel traps and different things. I remember when I was doing my physical therapy, they're talking about coyotes that would come out and get their calves. And so what they start doing is taking foam, like out of a cushion, and soak it with bacon grease. and they put that out there in the pastures. And those coyotes would eat that foam. And guess what happens when you eat foam, when you get it inside your belly? When you get that foam and you get it inside your belly, when your belly tries to digest it, your intestines will move like this to push it out. All that foam does is squeeze in and squeeze out, squeeze in, squeeze out. And that coyote would suffer, die a painful, painful, agonizing death. Because he's a lazy rancher that won't get out there and do it the right way. Watch your post. People will do evil traps. I hate evil traps. I hate them. If you're going to do it, I believe in hunting, but you do it the right way. I believe in killing an animal to eat it. But to kill it and lay it lay, people will out kill an animal and just let it lay, I'm sorry, you're just as guilty as murder. I'm friends with the Oklahoma Wildlife, and I know they don't like me because I put my 2 cents in there from time to time. But that's the truth anyway. I believe it is. Fathers must walk the fence line and be familiar with the weaknesses in the fence line. Leaders must be familiar with the weakness. Pastors, shepherds, coaches, supervisors, moms, dads, we must be familiar with the weaknesses and the threats. There is what's called a watchman in the Bible, and he'll stand on the wall, and he must walk the fence line, so to speak. He must be constantly watching over. What's he watching for? Threats to come into the camp. He can't sit there and say, well, I'm sitting here, I'm in my position, I'm a watchman. No, as mommies and daddies, as pastors, as evangelists, I'm talking here, nationwide, worldwide, we have got a post of duty. Every single person has got a post of duty. We've got to be a good watchman over what's been given us, fathers. Right. Mothers, we've got to be a good watchman over our family to where we are watching to keep that trash out and keep the good stuff in. We got to be good watchmen. You know, the watchman he talks about, when he gives the warning, if he doesn't give that warning, that's blood on his hands. But if he gives you the warning and he says, you better stop doing that, there's enemy coming, there's a weakness in the fence line, there's an enemy coming, and then you don't prepare yourself, that blood is on your own hands. I'm telling you, that devil is going to try to come in through the fence line. He's going to look for a weakness in the fence line, and we have got to be aware of what our weakness is. And you know individually what your battle is. Every person in this room has got a battle, and you know what that battle is. Brother Brown, I've had a battle. You'll never get to a point where you don't have a battle. Every person in here will have a battle, and you got to know what your battle is, and you got to keep that fence line mended. You got to be ready, that way when that enemy comes, you can defeat the devil. Amen. How many wants to defeat the devil?
Amen.
Absolutely. We must walk the fence line. The more devoted he will be to his position as a father, the safer his people will be. The more devoted parents will be to God, the safer the family will be. Godly leaders cannot be a stranger to prayer. Brother Branham, I always think about Brother Branham, where he talked about how that he was going on the airport and he felt the Lord tugging by his shirt, and he just started walking, singing One of Them, and he met the little woman standing with her arm on the fence post, and she said, Parson, I've been waiting on you. And she had a dew on her forehead. She said, I've been waiting on you. I want you to come pray for my son. And her son was sitting there, laying there on the bed with a venereal disease, and he felt like he said, oh, mama, oh. He felt like he was going out, drifting out in the water. He said, I want you to pray for my baby boy. My baby boy, he's dying. I need you to pray for him, Parson. I need you to pray. Think about it. This was a woman that had enough faith to stop a plane, to cause a prophet to come over here to pray for her baby. And she, whenever he come there, she said, I need you to pray for him. And he said, oh, mama, it's cold. Oh, mama. This man was dying. This boy was dying. This was a mama that had such a concern about her lost baby that she stayed out all night long with her arm on the post. Dude, she's not even going to let him walk by because she knows if I go to the bathroom for a second, I might miss him. She stayed right there and she's watching. She's not going to miss her opportunity. I want my baby saved. She stayed right there and she kept watching. Here he come, Parson. I've been expecting you. I need to go to the bathroom a long time ago, and I never went. He never said that, but you can just imagine. She sat there all night long. Said, I've been waiting for you. I've been watching for you. Says, come inside. You want you pray for my baby boy. Imagine seeing the shoes of this mother, seeing this baby boy that she raised, and here he was in a venereal disease, dying. He was saying, oh, mama, Oh, Mama, I can't see. Oh, Mama, I'm drifting away, Mama. Mama, I'm dying. My life's leaving me, Mama. And she would expect the prophet to come over and pray. They said, no, you pray. That woman went over to begin to pray, and he said, I could tell this woman had been talking to God before. She began to pour out the Spirit of God. She was a woman that was familiar with prayer. I'm here to tell you, we need to be familiar with prayer to where whenever the time arrives, God forbid that one of our children get in that situation, but may we have the character that we'll stand all night long if I got to, pleading on God, saying, God, save my baby. Save my baby, God. May there be something inside me that's enough character, enough gumption, enough desperation on the inside of me that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to give whatever. I'm willing to offer everything for the salvation of my family. I've got something inside me. I don't care if I look stupid. I don't care if I look sloppy. I don't care what I look like. I want my baby saved. God, help us have that character. God, give us that desperation on the inside where we'll say, God, I want a move of God in my life. I want a move of God in my family. I want a move of God in my church. I want a move of God in my work. But we've got to be desperate. There's got to be something inside you where you're willing to do what it takes to get it. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. We can't be a stranger of prayer. We got to be someone. It's got to be a walk, parents, to where we are not a stranger to prayer, but it is something that my children... My sincere prayer is if the Lord takes me away, then my children will say, my daddy was a man that prayed. My daddy was a man that served God. How many parents want that desire? Amen. I want the desire to where they see that, because it's an umbrella. When I'm doing that, I'm shielding my family by the character that I'm living. I want it to be to where we have an instant reaction when the Lord tells us to do something. An instant reaction when God's calling us. The headship in the home has an important position, and if he is not positionally placed, if he's positionally placed, he'll know the condition of his family. Sometimes I can't read my own writing. When a headship's in his home, you know the condition of your family. David smelled like his sheep. He didn't slip away from his sheep and come out just every once in a while and give him a paycheck, so to speak, or give him a little food and say, okay, I've done my job today. I've done my opportunities, my the things that's required of me as a father or as a mother. I've done my duty. Because our duties as a... And I have no idea why in the world I'm preaching this, but this is exactly what the Lord put me down here. We don't want to fall into the category to where I, as being a father and a mother, that I'm just giving food and I'm just giving a paycheck and I'm just putting clothes on their back. But brothers and sisters, it's something most important. Our most important task in this life is to lead them to Christ. Our most important thing, challenge, our most important accomplishment is not getting to be valedictorian or go to college or go to this or go to that, because if that's all we do, I failed. Our most important task that we have is to lead them to a born-again experience by example. To where our actions are speaking a voice. Our home is speaking a voice that this is the message of the hour. Our life. Not looking at somebody else. Our life. Whenever we're under the trial, whenever we're under the scrutiny, whenever you're dealing with the bad guy at the store is trying to cheat you out of your money. Whenever you're dealing with the guy that cut you off in traffic, and you're doing this, it's during our time. God, we are the example. We are the one that's on the testing block right now. We are the one that brought to Jesus Christ. And the children say, boy, this is on the parents. I'm going to get nothing. I'm missing this one. Well, you just hold on. Y'all just sit tight. It's coming. David smelled like his sheep. David was so mindful of his sheep. David smelled just like them. David was mindful of them. David was alert. David was aware of the struggles. David was aware of the weaknesses of his sheep. And that's why, because he was aware of the weaknesses, he could see the lion coming in. He could see the bear coming in. Because he was mindful of the sheep. And he was watching the sheep. God, help us as parents to watch our family quickly and as deacons of the church, as the ministers of the church, as trustees of the church, help us to watch over this church and be mindful and look when we see that wolf trying to creep in. We see the bear coming to creep in. I'm telling you, that you think that devil ain't coming. The Lord giving you messages tonight for something. You better watch it. David knew when they were sick. David was aware when they were sick. David was ready to prepare, and God equipped him with what he needed to fight the devil when it came to it. David was in his position as a shepherd, and he kept equipped. He kept himself equipped to fight the devil. We must keep ourselves equipped to fight the devil. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Knowing that you are thereto unto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always, equip yourself, always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let it be that when we are walking this walk, when you are at the job, and if someone tries to a false accusation, that you ride the clock and you ain't working. When they say, whenever they bring a false accusation, not really doing the job, they're marking it up more than they're supposed to. When they do a false accusation and they put something against you, may it be that we walk in such a way that they will be ashamed to say something. Because your life is so far in the white that you're not in the gray. We don't want to walk so close to that edge that we could possibly, oh, I can still do this and be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I can still do this and be in the presence of the Lord. I can still sing songs and be in the presence of the Lord. I can still preach and be in the presence of the Lord. If I got here, then I'd be too far. But I'm right here, so I'm okay. God, help us to have such a walk with the Lord that it is clear where I stand in my walk. Where I am in the white, that a person would be ashamed to speak against you. Amen. And we'll never do that in ourselves. It'll only be by His Holy Spirit. Amen. God will put the desire in your heart. God will put the pull in your heart. God will put the desire inside you to where you'll say, God, I want to be in your presence so bad, Lord, that when you start to step over there, you'll feel so grieved. You'll say, oh, God, what's wrong with me? I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so uncomfortable. And then you realize, I'm in the gray. No wonder I'm uncomfortable. God, forgive me. And get yourself back to why? To where, listen, we're talking about your words. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Your words. When people hear the things you talk about, we don't want to be complainers where we complain all the time about everything where people will hear that. Hey, who wants to be around someone that complains all the time? No. You want to get away from it as quick as possible. Right. God, help us not be complainers that we talk about the negativities of this world all the time. But may it be when someone's around us, it's a fresh drink of water. When they hear the things you talk about and they see the appearance of the sisters walking through with their long dresses and their long hairs, and they see their conduct, maybe when they listen, they hear good things. So it says, oh, that's a real Christian. But brothers and sisters, if we ain't careful, we'll have the appearance of a godliness, but then when you sit and listen to the things that can be taught, not bad things, but negativity. Talk about the negativity of this world. God has given us a peace and a sound mind to where we do not have to be afraid of this world. We don't have to be afraid of coronavirus. common sense. Wash your hands just like flu, but we are not afraid of it. Say amen. Amen. I am not afraid of it. Lord, may it be that the words that come out of this mouth be words that when someone hear it, they can say, I could have swore I was in the presence of Jesus Christ. The way he talked, the way he acted, the way his beard was ripped out, the way he was under such scrutiny. I was under the presence. I believe I was in the presence of Jesus Christ. You'll never do it yourself, but I'm telling you, that is what God is calling us. That's Christ in you. It is Jesus Christ in you and me. Amen. May it be that whenever we are in the position of Bartimaeus, that my life will speak something different than what this world would speak to if they were in the situation. Because remember, it's the word being tried. It's not Bartimaeus. It's the word inside Bartimaeus being tried. And it's the word inside you and I that's being tried. You as a mother and father, it is you. It's the word inside you being tried. When that baby will do, you can do everything right, he's still going to scream and holler. Amen. You can do everything right. I'm talking about kids. Elijah, he was testifying. He was getting it under the blood. Boy, we were coming from church. He said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I know. I look back and I was rotten. I said, yes, sir, you were. And I said, son, I hope you don't get caught in what they say, paying for your raising. I said, because I was pretty ornery when I was little. Maybe that's why you was the way you was. But he said, I remember. You gave me bug juice. You gave me this. You gave me everything. Everything you could possibly want. But still, I'm crying nonstop. You do everything right, but there's still. It's during those testing times. It's when God is testing and proving the character of the parents in the midst of calamity. But you'll never be tested. You'll never be tried. You'll never be able to express what God can do through you until. Say amen. If the Lord tarries, Brother Elijah, I pray it ain't that way, buddy. I better be honest. Sometimes I think, well, I hope he does. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. We must stay equipped. When someone leaves from an interaction with you, someone comes from you, you've had a conversation, you've had an interaction, what are they left with when they leave you? You ever notice there's sometimes you get around somebody and it feels like you've been to a bitter plum and they're like, my goodness. And there's sometimes you get around somebody and it's like biting into a sweet plum. My goodness. They're both, my goodness. But one's for the bad, one's for the good. God, help us to be that good. Help us to have a sweetness about us. And I've got something I'm trying to get to, and I'm trying to build a big, big platform to hit this. The believers of Brother Brenham's meetings, when they went to the hotels, when they went to the restaurants, and they went to the different places, Brother Brenham would go to the service and they'd say, Brenham, are you Brother Brenham? Yes, yes, brother. As humble as he was, he said, I want to shake your hand. The believers that come to your services are the most reverent people, the sweetest people. I want to shake your hand. That was the greatest testament to him. That what God did in his life is the followers of how they acted with what they've been given. And the testament of what we are doing, if we have this message in our hearts, may that same testimony, when we have a meeting, when we go to Brahms, if we go to Western Sizzlin, when we go somewhere, may it be that Brother Tony will walk by one day, going to eat breakfast by himself or his wife, and they say, wait a minute, are you Brother Tony Roberts? Yes, yes, I'm Tony Roberts. I want to shake your hand. The people that go to your church is the sweetest people I've ever met. Their conduct, their patience with the waiter, their patience. I want to tell you something, Tony. I got their order wrong 3 different times, and they never got mad at me. They were patient. They actually gave me an extra tip. I want to shake your hand. Do you know when you get bad service, you're actually supposed to give a good tip? My wife and I, we went to service. We don't get to go. We all have to eat very often. We went out to eat in a place, I don't want to say the name. I forgot we're on that. Best food you ever ate. Hands down, the worst service I've ever had. But when I went and paid that, I didn't plan it. I didn't have it in my mind to do it, but I went and paid for it. I gave a $10 tip whenever I really shouldn't have given anything. And I gave that, and I said, why did I feel it? But I felt compelled in my heart to do that. And as I was walking out the door, the Lord quickened it to me. It's because they gave you bad service, and they probably had a bad day that day. And that's probably the best tip, probably the only tip they've gotten all day. Remember that the way we treat people is the greatest ministry they will have. The greatest fruit that we will have is the way we treat people. Amen. And the way we treat one another, the way the son treats, here it comes, little ones, the way the son will treat and respect mama, the way the daughter will respect mama and daddy. It's a ministry. It is your way of expressing what God is doing in your life. Will respect them. A woman that will not respect her daddy will not respect her husband. Right. A boy that will not respect his mama will not respect his wife. And we need to hold each other accountable. Amen. The way we treat people. People won't care how much you know. Listen to these words I'm telling you. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. When they see, you can have absolute perfect truth. But if you have a demeanor about you that you don't care about them, all you've got is the truth, you ain't going to affect lives. You're winning arguments. But ministering is whenever you can go to that person and from the inside out, you can build that person. You can lift them up, pick them up, pull them out of the muck and miry. You can pull them up to a higher position. And they feel better about themselves after you leave than before you got. But a lot of times around message churches, I've been around the world. I've been to Honduras, I've been to Nicaragua, I've been to Mexico. I've seen it. It's the same thing over there. It's in America. Same thing. A lot of times around message church, they'll present that message, but they just tore the person down rather than picking them up. And I'm here to tell you, strong churches is where we individually, well, we've got a ministry to where we are ministering the grace of God to the people that need it. How many of you know somebody the grace of God? Amen. They're beat down. Think about it. They're beat down. They're worried. They're scared. They've got COVID going everywhere. They've got things that are happening that sounds like the Bible, but they don't know the Bible. They're worried. They're fretting. They're hearing all kinds of different things, and they don't even know what to do. Headships all around the world don't know what to do. I remember as a young man where I never had someone teach me how to manage my finances, and I was scared to death. And I ask people for help. People in the church, please help me. I do not know how to manage my finances. I was worried. I was scared. I had a wife. I had children. I was threatened. I had a terrible credit score, like a 400 credit score. And I said, please help me. What do I do? And, oh, we'll pray for you, brother. God bless you. Have you noticed how you can be dying in the water and they'll say, we'll pray for you. How about throwing a lifeline out there and pulling me out of the water? I'm not talking about giving money. Show me how to manage my money. Help me, ministry. Show me how to do this. Show me. I want to learn. I'm willing to learn. We live in a world where it's a dying world and they don't know what to do. But we've got the answer. But we've got to not just have the answer. Let's give it to somebody. Let's give this grace of God that God has put in our life to somebody. The greatest thing you can do, listen to what I'm saying, the greatest thing you can do is share how your fire got lit. Amen. Where you can testify, I was in the muck and miry. I felt beat down. I felt alone. I felt like I didn't know what to do. But God, that one day, reached down and he picked me up. And I sang Amazing Grace a new way. It was a new song because I can testify, this is how my fire got lit. But the problem of it is, if you ask a person, how did your fire go? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. When God changed your life, whenever you were beat down, you were alone, and God reached down and he picked you up, even though you didn't deserve it in the first place. It was a wonderful feeling. How many know what I'm talking about? How many has got a fire that's been lit?
You can share that fire. You can give that testimony in your family. And I'm telling you what, you are ministering the grace of God. And most of the time you're ministering to the person you think that said, oh yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. You're thinking, that's the one I was ministering to. And a lot of the times the one you're really ministering to is the one that ain't saying nothing. They're sitting back in a corner. They're sitting all alone. No one even notices they're there. And they're hearing how you were beat down. You were alone. You didn't know what you were going to do. And they're sitting there all alone in a corner. That's exactly how I feel. And they're listening to the words that you're saying. And I said, that's exactly how I feel. And I was going to commit suicide tonight. I was going to end my life tonight because it ain't worth it. But they're sitting and they're listening to your testimony. And I said, there is hope. I'm not the only one that's like this. I'm not the only one that's beat down. I'm not the only one that's a loser. I'm not the only one that doesn't feel like I even deserve to live. They feel the same way that I do. Listen to me. It's your testimony. Where you can minister. Could you imagine getting on the other side and you see a crown of all the lives that have been led to the Lord? And you say, oh, that must be Brother Tony's. That must be Brother Brown's. No, that's yours. The testimony that you gave, the life that you lived, you led Mr. Jones, Brother Jones, to the Lord. You led Sister Sally to the Lord. You led this person to the Lord. Brother Brennan talked about a story one time. He talked about how that this one little sister, she was a godly little sister. She walked with her hair in a bun, and she had her long dress, and she was a really holy-looking sister, very genuine, just a genuine sister. But she'd give her testimony everywhere she'd go. There was another sister that was a Sunday school teacher. And she would give her testimony to that Sunday school teacher about the grace of God that God had done in her life. That Sunday school teacher said, I don't have to listen to you. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I've got a ministry in the church. You don't have to tell me anything. My pastor says, as long as I love Jesus, that's all I got to do. Well, eventually, that Sunday school teacher got a venereal disease and she was going to die. She was laying on her deathbed. And the pastor of the church was with her. And he said, now listen, sister, you accepted Jesus in your heart. God loves you. And the angels are fixing to come and pack you away. You're okay. Don't you worry. Brother Brown said, I was walking down the street getting close to the house. He said, that little sister, she was getting squirming and she was offended. He said, oh, sister, you just calm down. Remember, you accepted Jesus in your heart, right? Yes, pastor, I did. Oh, you're okay. The angels of God are come pack you away. The pastor stepped out to go smoke a cigarette, and she got to squirming, and she started feeling that death angel coming down. And there was, as she began to squirm like that, the pastor came in there and said, now, sister, you need to calm down. We need to give you some medicine to calm you down. Calm your nerves. This corona's coming on you now. And she was laying there in all this sickness, and she looked at her pastor. She said, you deceiver of men, I trusted you to tell me the truth. You told me I was saved. You told me I was okay because I accepted Jesus in my heart, and now I'm going to hell. I trusted you. Where is that sister? Where is that little girl that used to live that godly life? Where is she at? Go get her. And the devil's come and got her. That little woman died. The pastor told her, it's okay. You've accepted Jesus. You accepted Jesus in your heart. And the devil's come got her and dragged her off too. But she remembered a life that was lived of this sister. She said, go get that life. Get it to me. Help us to live that life. Help us to have it to where our life will preach the gospel. Not of saying someone you beat down trashy thing because you're wearing pants or you're wearing cut hair or you're wearing... If we're living that kind of life, there's something wrong. But it should be a life that leads them to repentance. That makes them leave. Whenever you leave their presence, they say, you know what? We can do that. We want that grace of God in our life. Amen. Let's all stand. I've got a bunch more I would like to say, but I don't want to wear you out on a Wednesday night either. I've been tired all day today. Now I feel like I can run a marathon. Help us to have that life, brothers and sisters, to where our life is a drink of water where they are thirsty and they are dying out there. To when they come and they interact with us, may they leave and say, my goodness, that's real. What we just saw in that home, that's real.
we may not, we not, not care about all this stuff. That's what Brother Brown talked about. He said, I'd rather see somebody that had the wrong doctrine and the right spirit. Said that right? Yes. Then rather have the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. I'd rather see somebody with the wrong doctrine and the right spirit than to see somebody with the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. Because when you get the spirit right, you will line everything else back up. And may we have the right spirit, brothers and sisters. Whenever we go to Brom, we go to Western Sizzling, we go to wherever we're going to work, we go to Glacier National Park, they may have the gospel preached to them one time, genuinely, and it's through the life that you lived. Amen. And it's hard to imagine you can have anything bad to really test you while you're in Glacier National Park, because that's where the good stuff happens. How many knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. A ministry from you, where your life is winning a crown. Amen. Where your life is preaching the gospel. Where your marriage is preaching the gospel. Your relationship with father and daughter, mother, where you are preaching the gospel. If you don't mind, let's just bow our heads just a moment, just before the Lord. And don't look around and say, you know what? Let's just examine ourselves just for a moment. And let's ask ourselves honestly, when someone leaves me, leaves their interaction with me, what are they left with? Are they left with a person that can win an argument? Or someone that knows everything about everything? Or someone that's holier than everybody else? Or are they left with someone that says, there's hope, there's grace, you can do this? With every head bowed, every humble, and say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I need help in this. I'm going to do better. Would you lift your hand up before the Lord? Nobody look around. And God sees your hand, and you say, Brother Daniel, that's silliness. I don't have to raise my hand. You're defying the laws of gravity. And you're saying, a righteous man is a man that confesses faults. You're lifting your hand and you're saying, God, forgive me. I'm going to do better. I want to do a better representation of what you've been giving me. I want to manifest that I value my relationship with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I humbly come before you tonight, Lord, and I love you so much, Lord. I love these people. I love your presence, Lord. And Lord, I know without a doubt, I've told the truth tonight, Lord. I've told them exactly what you gave to me while I was sitting in my office today, Lord. Oh God, help us. Blind Bartimaeus had a moment, Lord, where he lost the dove, so to speak. He surrendered them to you. He lost the lamb that was walking around where he could see everywhere. He gave them to you. And Lord, he had one opportunity when you were going to walk by. And he said, I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. I'm going to call out. I'm going to reach out. I'm claiming my moment. Oh, God, I'm asking you, walk the aisle, Lord. May we claim our moment, Lord. Lord God, if it's tomorrow, if it's a week from now, if it's a year from now, there's going to be a moment, Lord, where we can do what we've been called to do, where we can minister the grace of God to somebody. Oh, God, I'm asking you, walk the aisle, knock on every heart, Lord. God, every hand that's gone up, Lord, meet every need, oh God. Give us sincerity in our hearts, Lord, where we can humble ourselves and say, God, I need your help, Lord, that I can be sweet again. Lord, that I won't be fretting over COVID. I won't be fretting over the shots going around. I won't be doing that. But may my conversations surround the grace of God. May my conversations, the things I talk about, not be about how many cars I can sell, how many deer I can shoot, how many football I can run down the field, God, but may my conversations can be consumed of what you have done in my life, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you to walk, y'all touch every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Brother Tim, if you don't mind. Let me do that song, I've Been Changed. I think it's I Won't Go Back. I Won't Go Back Again. Thank you.
say is amen.
Amen.
Amen. What you heard. What will you offer? You know, you have to offer something that costs you. It's not what it cost your neighbor, it's what it cost you. Jesus said you have to pick up your cross.
That's right.
Remember the story in the Bible where David had numbered Israel and he picked the things that God offered him, three different things of judgment. He picked the one, and there was a judgment angel, and he was going to go make sacrifice, and there was a brother there that had a threshing floor, and he was going to give it all to David. Here, take all this. And David said, no, I cannot offer something that doesn't cost me.
That's right.
And so that's a theme throughout the Bible. It's our own personal walk, and it's our own personal giving that cost us, that we give to the Lord. Not to save us, but to have His work in us multiplied so that we can touch lives. That's what it takes. You know, it has to be something that costs you. And you know, as I think as Brother Robbie said, you know, there's nothing like a man that knows what he's doing when it comes to work or whatever. The best thing you can do is demonstrate. I had a friend years ago, he's probably passed on now, but lived up in New Jersey, Brother Aliano. And he was telling a story one time about he was working construction with his son, and they had a job to do, a roofing job. And it was those storms, and the clouds was just hanging, and just looked out, he was just going to dump water at any time on him. He said he had to get that job done. It had to be that it couldn't rain, you know, and they needed the money. And he said he pulled up there in front of the job with his son with all the materials, and he said, looked over at his son, he said, this is how you do it. And he just committed it to God right there, and he just looked like it was going to dump water any moment. They got up on the roof, did the whole complete job, finished the whole thing, and as they were coming down the ladder, the bottom fell out of it. He said, that's how you do it. And we've got to get to that place where we can demonstrate, not
yes.
to be a show-off,
right.
but to supply the needs that people have. That's what we're here in this world for,
yes.
is to be a help to those around us. Brother Daniel's talking about watching for the weak spots. You know, that's where Satan comes in. I was telling that somebody recently. That's how Satan comes in. He looks for weak spots, and that's where he comes.
Yeah.
And so you've got to keep those things covered. The watchman standing on the wall, his job is there to warn the people when he sees things coming. And he has to be very, very knowledgeable. If you read in the scriptures that those watchmen could see somebody running, and they could say, that's so-and-so, because they could tell he was running.
That's right.
Or they could see the way a man was driving his horses on a chariot and say, well, that's Jehu. See, they were so skilled at what they could look out there to see, to warn, and that's what we're supposed to be as
yes.
ministers, but each one of us, because you're a watchman too,
yeah.
right? To be able to look for weaknesses and watch out for those. And you know, the city, the walls all built up, strong and fortified, but every city has a gate, at least one gate. And that gate is the weakest place in the city. Because it's the gate is where you go in and out every day. You have to come and go.
Yeah.
You got to go in and you got to go out. And it's that place where the enemy wants to catch you and find you. What you have to do every day. Things that just got to, you know, as you come and go. And that's where he wants to get you. You know, the scriptures talk about how that when you come in and you go out, let that word be there. Right? As you come and go, because it's what you do every day.
Yes.
And so that's why it's so important. And that's why the gates, the things that you do every day that you have to do, that's what you want to keep it,
yes.
keep protected and watch them. Because that's a weak spot. Amen. We appreciate what you heard.
Amen.
Amen. That song, He Looked Beyond My Faults. Can we sing that? He looked beyond my faults. Aren't you glad he did?
Amen.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Amen.
He looked beyond your faults, and he gave to you something that will make a difference for you.
Yes.
Now you go do the same.
Amen.
Amen.